It's us.
Hi.
We're the Podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to another exciting episode. We have realized that this is episode 59. We're still in our 50s for one more episode. Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, I did not expect this episode to, you know, ever come to fruition the way that it has, Rachel.
You mean which part? Like the song that we chose, the guest, the incredible guest that we have in our studio right now?
She's literally walking away. Where is she even
going? She literally walked away as I said that.
That could not be more of a better introduction for what we've got going on here. Yes, Rachel, we have another guest. It has been several episodes since we've had a special guest. Our very special guest needs no introduction, but yet needs every introduction because we have mentioned this person on our podcast before. Of course we've mentioned because we are a podcast of siblings. Rachel, you and I are a brother and sister duo, but we've never just been a duo in our family, have we, Rachel?
No, at least not you and I, for sure.
We are, in fact, two of three siblings. Therefore, without further ado, here is me introducing our guest this week. It's our sister, Emily!
Hello!
Welcome!
Happy to be here. Excited for the invite.
Emily just revealed to us that she has still, to this day, not listened to a single episode of our podcast. And that is going to make for an interesting podcast. She's going to be surprised at every turn, every corner. It also just like, you know, it just suits her. This is Emily who just kind of rolls with her own thing. And what we like to do whenever we have a guest on our podcast is we like to ask our guest, why don't you just give us a little bit about your Taylor story? You know, when did you first start listening to Taylor Swift? When did you stop listening to Taylor Swift? And when did you what is your current, you know, feelings on Taylor Swift
today? Okay.
Okay.
I have been listening to Taylor Swift longer than the two of you. I will tell you that.
Okay. I believe you.
I disagree with that.
And to jump right into the next one, when did you stop? I'll be honest, I wasn't loving when she dropped, what's the one with Nobody, No Crime?
Evermore.
Oh. Evermore.
Okay. So I love
Folklore and Evermore.
Hang on. We'll get to Folklore. Okay. I loved Nobody, No Crime. I listened to that song on repeat a lot. It's so catchy. The lyrics are really cool.
Good thing Esty's sister's gonna swear she was with me.
You know, maybe in a future life I'll murder some guy that's cheating on his wife.
Right.
I could definitely see you
it's
doing
like a
that.
Perfect, yes. Like descriptive about what you should do when you need to murder your spouse or somebody.
Yeah, I have a plan.
Like you right there.
I become a maid and I learn how to clean things up.
Time out. So were you paying attention to Taylor Swift's releases? Like that was in 2020 is when Evermore came out.
I skipped a bunch of albums.
But you were paying attention is what you're saying.
No, I was not. No. Okay. I don't clear.
Because I've never known you to pay attention to Taylor Swift.
Right. No, I didn't pay attention, but no, I loved 1989. I actually really wanted to buy that on vinyl. I remember it was before Trav and I were married or right after we got married. I was going to gift it to ourselves for Christmas, like with a bottle of bourbon under the tree. But then I thought he would hate that. So then I didn't. And also we were really poor. We were poor. So like spending $20 on a vinyl was just like, you had to really, you know, consider that. So I was really into 1989. And then that's when I think I fell off the wagon. Okay. Not because I didn't like the ones between 1989 and then I jumped to Evermore.
Reputation and Lover.
I don't know. I feel like that was my hippie phase of life where I was ooh, I'm only going to listen to bluegrass and I'm only going to listen to NPR. I'm not going to listen to the radio. That was
a bluegrass NPR family forever. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that we're all somewhat Swifties is kind of a shock, but Rachel and I have fallen in love with Taylor Swift and her music in recent years, whereas I don't think that you were ever part of the conversation about that because Rachel and I were vocal about it, but you've never been vocal about it, Emily, until this past Christmas when it turns out you took part in the song draft with us. You watched the Eras Tour movie with us, and you seemed just as into it as Rachel and I. So turns out you're a Swiftie.
Okay, so yeah, we'll just keep. Should I keep going with my story? Because I want to jump. I want to jump to what you just said, Sam. But I feel like there's stuff in between.
Oh, do it.
All right, fill us in.
So I remember when Rachel called me and she was like really into Evermore, and I tried to listen to the whole album. And still to this day, when I listen to music, I like it just, I want to like make it, it wanted to feel good. Just like I watch rom-coms and I watch James Bond movies, but don't throw me something from Hollywood that makes me cry. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I just want to be like, I like happy-go-lucky music. So.
Right. This makes sense because there's a lot of sad in those.
Right, so I remember Rachel called me and she was like, I'm obsessed. And so then I wanted to like it and I just couldn't. So then I think because of that, I never even listened to Folklore because I was like, it's just going to be new Taylor.
That's crazy to me.
Well, it's interesting to me too because you just said like you were really into folk music, which I was too. And so when...
I remember this conversation that we had about this.
Okay. Yeah. And that was what brought me in. But it's also interesting. You probably liked even upbeat folk music.
Yeah. Even when they talk about murdering, it's upbeat.
Exactly. Right.
I'm just going to say, as much as Taylor tries to brand Folklore and Evermore as folk music, to me it's not really folk music, not the type of folk music that we love. It's not bluegrass and it's not country folk, but it is more like indie folk pop with a little bit of pop influence. So I don't think any just folk loving soul can necessarily latch themselves onto the sounds of Folklore and Evermore. So I get where I'm coming from. Okay, so we've got a little bit about your backstory. My question is, why did you want to be a part of our podcast if you've never even listened to our podcast once before? And then I guess that kind of goes into what song are we doing and why did you choose this song? So
why are you here is what Sam is saying.
Well, okay, you mentioned Christmas. And I'll admit, like, even this whole last year with the Eras Tour and you guys' podcast, I wasn't really Taylor curious. I'd never even once considered going to one of her shows. And I was even in Nashville during her show. And it never even crossed my mind to like even try to find tickets. But anyway, Christmas happened and you guys wanted to do the Taylor draft. And all I really cared about was eating my oysters, all 100 of them that we shipped in, and drinking champagne. And I just felt like, what a better activity, oysters and champagne and doing this Taylor draft. And I thought I was going to really struggle to pick 5 songs. And then I started doing it. And then as the rounds went on, it would remind me of other songs. I started picking and then I had to delete one to add another. And then I realized maybe I actually do like Taylor Swift.
Okay.
Maybe I am a Swiftie.
That is like the struggle. That is the journey that I think we've all been on as born again Swifties.
I think so.
Yeah, I will say one more thing. So what really
go for it.
got me fired up during the draft. So my love language for receiving, you guys probably know this, maybe not, you probably do, middle child, is words of affirmation. So like, if you tell me I'm amazing, like I'll probably love you forever. And I remember one of my songs I picked, I don't even remember which one, you guys were like, oh, wow, that's like a Swiftie song. And then I was really proud. And so then I started getting even more into it. And then we started watching it on TV. And
wait, so what were your song choices?
I don't even remember.
I just remember they were good. They were
Nobody, No Crime.
Yeah.
Wildest Dreams.
Oh, that's the one that it was, I think.
Yeah.
Lover.
Lover. I love that song.
It's a great song.
That might have been the Swiftie one.
You did Welcome to New York.
Oh, Welcome to New York. That's right.
I like notoriously kind of hate that song. So that one threw me for a total loop. But then was not your last choice the song Love Story? Didn't you choose the song?
It was. So moving on to why I chose this song. My song for this podcast is Love Story.
We were both young when I first saw you. I closed my eyes and the flashback starts. I'm standing there on a balcony in summer air.
Good choice,
excellent,
Emily.
Excellent choice.
It's a classic.
You know, this episode's coming out like on Valentine's week.
Beautiful. Yeah.
We did Lover last year on Valentine's Day.
We did.
And now we're doing Love Story. And yes, Taylor Swift sings about love in like the majority of her songs. But I think this song is truly one of the most iconic for the holiday.
Yeah. Takes the cake.
It really does.
Yeah.
And now tell us why, because I know you have a fun story.
Well, why? I mean, I love the song. So if you asked me my Taylor journey, I feel like the beginning of this song would come up for many people. I mean, it wasn't it like on the radio? It was very popular. And it kind of came out, and maybe this isn't accurate, so please don't fact check me. I feel like it came out around the time that I met Travis.
Yeah.
And like when you are first falling in love, like who doesn't feel like every love song is about you? Even though it has literally, like, that song has nothing to do with us. Like you can't even try to pretend like it does, because mom and dad like him more than me. So
it's so true,
and they always have.
other than being like, Travis, stay away from Emily.
If you know what's good for you, you will not marry her.
You don't want her.
I feel like mom and dad have said without actually saying that Travis is the son they never had.
Yeah.
And I fully just accepted that.
Yeah. So I feel like I maybe like tried to make that song about us. Like, oh, this is our love story. But it really wasn't. But really what happened, when I think about this song, it brings me back to when I was working at this fine restaurant in Sheboygan, Wisconsin called Chili's. I had quite the career at Chili's. You know, I mean, I've worked my way up. Worked my way up to bartender.
You had a transfer?
I made a transfer within the company. It was a lateral move.
A lateral move across states?
And then I was quickly promoted. No, but I remember, okay, so Chili's plays radio music, and it just kept, like, playing and playing. Every shift, you'd hear that song 10 times. And most of the management there was absolutely miserable human beings. Now that I'm in a leadership role, it's fun to reflect on shitty bosses that you've had and like, what was wrong with them, you know? But one manager in particular, her name was Tammy. I can still like picture her. I wonder if she's still working there. Shout out Tammy.
Hi, Tammy. Totally,
Tammy's listening right now.
She's totally a swiggy.
So she loved this song. And like, okay, so I was 21 working at Chili's. In my mind, Tammy was 55, but in reality, she was probably 35.
30. You know? That's so true. Yeah, so that's true.
55-year-old Tammy loved this song, and she was like, this is my husband and I's song. And she was so sweet. She always made me feel welcome there. And all the other, like, none of the other managers did. They hated me. And she was always in a good mood. Like, nothing brought her down at Chili's, ever. She was just happy. You know those people that are just, like, love life. Yeah. And they just, no matter what their shitty job is, they're going to come in a good mood. That was Tammy. And, yeah, I'm sort of lying that I'm not prepared.
Because
I did do a deep dive in the lyrics, and I really analyzed Tammy as to why this might be her and her husband's song, and I've got a story. Yes.
Okay, I cannot wait. You were such an Easter egg.
You know about the Easter egg lore.
I am very excited about that.
Can I reveal my cocktail or what?
No.
No, hang on.
Too soon?
We're almost there. We're almost there.
Is there any more time later to talk about, like, my journey into I think I'm a Swiftie now. I don't know if this is the right time to drop this, but I have more to say about my story, and I don't know when the best time for this is. Because I'll be honest, you guys sent me that text about the order of the podcast, and it was too long for me to read, so I don't know.
If you've got things to say, then say them.
Say them, and Sam will decide if he's going to cut it or not.
Okay, don't cut this.
No, I want to know it. Go.
Love a good success story, and I think what really kind of pulled me in at Christmas was when you guys started talking about how she trained for her show and how she would like put high heels on and run on a treadmill and sing her songs. And then I started to really think about how epic it is that she could, after watching the show, the Eras Tour TV, watching how physical that is. Like, you don't think it's like running a marathon every night, 3 nights a week. And running a business, because she's also probably in charge of all those people, and then starting a new relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I'm really, really impressed by her. And so that I just love a fellow like badass female. I'm really into her right now. I'll say that.
I love this.
Yes.
This is really great.
Okay. This is the segment, Emily.
The cocktail finally.
No, unfortunately, I know this is the hardest part. I know.
We'll just get through this. Over here.
It's gonna be okay.
We call this segment "We're Doing Good, We're on Some New Shit."
I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit.
So, Emily, why don't you tell us and our Swiggies what is some new shit that you're listening to these days?
You know, as a new Swiftie, I'm listening to Taylor Swift these days. So
I love this.
I've actually decided that I actually do really like the Folklore album.
Oh, yes.
Welcome to the
club.
Yes. It's very catchy. Excellent. The first song, what is it? The One?
We just quoted it. I'm doing good. I'm on some new shit. Right there.
Yeah, I missed that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm really into that. And then as a family, we're really into Zach Bryan right now. We're going to his show in March.
Yes.
And jealous. Very, very into Zach Bryan and Taylor Swift.
This is a great combination.
Okay. Do you have a favorite moment of the Folklore album?
I like the first one.
Great.
Okay. The One.
Great. That's a great.
In my defense, I have none for never leaving well enough alone. But it would have been fun if you would have been the one.
And I like Cardigan. I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. I gotta be honest. I don't love the Bon Iver one. His voice sounds weird in that.
You know, same.
I love it.
Rachel and I have disagreed with that, but I've always felt that way too, Emily.
My drive to work is only 7 minutes, so I really only get through the first two every day, and then I just re-listen to those.
That's cute.
So I don't.
Okay, have you gone into the Long Pond Studio versions?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. So
watch Disney. If you have Disney Plus, you need to pull
your mind's
up
gonna be blown.
Your mind's gonna be blown. It's where Taylor, they filmed her recording that album, but acoustically. So they go through every single song, and she talks about every single song before she plays it, but she plays it acoustically, and it's gonna blow your mind.
Very excited.
It's so good.
The vinyl.
And she's drinking wine the entire time.
Yeah, she drinks wine the whole time. You're going to love it.
I love her.
The vinyl record of that album came out in April. I don't know if you can still find it because it was a record day, but you should try
to
see it.
Rachel, like, fought tooth and nail to get this album.
I stood in line at 5 a.m. just to get it. All right, excellent. I'm excited for you. Sam, what's some new shit that you're listening to?
Okay, so, you know, as I mentioned, we're recording this on February 1st. Everybody who's listening to this episode – You need to know that we do not know what's happened to the Grammys yet. So I'm trying to listen to every Grammy nomination possible. I've listened to every single album of the year nominee. I've listened to all the record of the year, the songs of the year, the country song of the year, the best vocal performance, everything. And the one I'm going to feature is the only male nominee for album of the year. It is a female heavy Grammys. We love to see it. And the only male nominee is Jon Batiste. There is a nominee for, I think it's record of the year, which is about like the song as a whole and the production behind it. And that song is Worship. And that's the song I want to focus on because Rachel, you've talked about how you love a song that like changes like vibes halfway through, and yeah. The song definitely yeah. does that. It goes in a place that you wouldn't expect, and he uses Spanish language, which I'm just such a nerd for that. So I really liked the song Worship, and fingers crossed it wins for Record of the Year. It is up against Antihero, for the record, but
there's some good ones on there.
There are some good ones. I don't think he's going to win Album of the Year, but I did listen to the album as a whole. That's my new shit, is Jon Batiste, World Radio, especially the song Worship. So
I'm going to check that out.
You should.
Sam, I listened to some music as well. And I chose Jon Batiste.
You did? I don't think we've ever done this before.
We have, but like it was like a new Olivia Rodrigo, whatever.
No,
I didn't choose Worship. I decided to choose, I like that song. I've listened to it before. I decided to go in a different direction. And you know I love collabs. I didn't really like the Lana Del Rey collab. Like I wanted to choose that one. And I didn't really like the song. So this is kind of a little bit more boring to me. So I really like the one with Native Soul. It's called Rain Dance.
Yes. Yeah. That was my other choice, Rachel. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I really enjoyed just the mix of sounds.
Give me love for the life of me. Yeah. I know you got to see the belief that I'm a changed man. I look up and do my rain dance. Give me love.
Just really fun. I think Jon Batiste is. I think you'd really enjoy it, Emily. I think throw that on there when you're
okay. I'm gonna listen to it.
Listening to some Taylor Swift.
Okay, love that for all of us. It is time we drink our cocktails. I know Emily is like drooling.
Finally,
Rachel and I are used to the fact that we take a long time to get to our cocktails, but let's just get into the cocktails at this point. Emily, why don't you start with?
Yeah, go for it.
We know we're doing Love Story.
Yes.
And you didn't mention this, but not only is Rachel and I, we've always been cocktail inspired, not always, not like since the womb, but in recent years, Rachel and I have been so cocktail inspired, but Emily, so have you. You've always been a cocktail goddess. You have inspired both Rachel and I to create cocktails whenever we get together, whether it's at Christmas or at the farm or otherwise, there's always cocktails involved. So that's also a very relevant thing that we definitely have to mention when it comes to, you know, the Sibs conversation. So with that being said, Emily,
I'm kind of the OG.
Honestly, you are. And I have a feeling by the end of this podcast, you're just going to like want to do, you're going to want to be another co-host with us. I just have a feeling.
Okay.
What inspired you in Love Story and what cocktail did you choose?
Well, as I already mentioned, Tammy at Chili's.
Tammy is the inspiration.
Are we doing a Chili's cocktail?
I made a margarita.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with Love Story. I don't think Romeo and Juliet had ever heard of Mexico or tequila. You know, I probably should have done like an Italian margarita in hindsight. That would have been good. But no, this is, I make a damn good margarita because I don't know if I mentioned, but I bartended at Chili's. And
like, you worked your way up to bartending.
They're really good. And whenever I make them for somebody, they're like, damn, your margaritas are good. I'm like, I know, I worked at Chili's.
That's great. It's a love story. Just say yes. Margaritas.
So in my, do you want to know what's in it? My recipe?
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course.
It's actually not the Chili's recipe because ours came from a mix.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And often went into the frozen machine. And you could easily hide that in a coffee mug and run into the bathroom and chug it if you're working. You know?
Just saying. Just you and Tammy.
Yeah. Tammy didn't care. This is from the Death & Co. book that I got. When it came out, 2014.
I don't think we've ever mentioned Death and Kill on this podcast.
Have we not?
They are a huge inspiration to my cocktail making. Anyway, it's from their book. It's very simple. 2 ounces of tequila. I like Sam. I know you don't like them, but I like Casamigos. It's very delicious, and I like the label. Mm-hmm. I like the bottle. I like the way it looks. Cointreau, a little bit of lime juice, and agave.
Nice.
Shake it up.
You should know that 2 episodes ago, I used Casamigos in a podcast cocktail. So you'd be proud of me.
If I listened, I would know.
That sounds delish. Salud. Cheers.
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 Okay. Can I go next, please? Because I just want to sip it.
Yes, go ahead.
So
carry on.
Here's what I'm calling my cocktail was inspired by the Shakespearean themes of this song and thus the Italian themes, right? So I am going to call this cocktail Cherry Me Juliet.
Ooh, I like that.
So I wanted a cherry-inspired cocktail with a little bit of Italian influence. I thought about Shakespeare, and what Shakespeare was drinking during his time was mead. I found a tart cherry mead to be sort of like the main influence of this cocktail. So I've got tart cherry mead. Turns out they were also drinking a lot of sherry back in the Elizabethan times. So we've got a little bit of sherry in here. And then all the variations I made were with different like liquor bases. I did like a whiskey base and a gin base. My favorite one was a rum base. So here's my tie in to the song. Romeo, save me. I'll be waiting. All there's left to do is rum. Thank you for laughing. So in addition to the tart cherry mead and the sherry, we've got some rum. Of course, I added some cherry syrup in here, some cherry bitters as well, and then Campari, of course, because that's a very Italian aperitif, and it's got notes and vibes of cherry in there. So it's a little, you know, it's a very unique cocktail that I can't quite really put my finger on it, but Cherry Me Juliet.
Oh, hey, Sam, I'm going to take your Cherry Me Juliet, and I'm going to raise you a Marry Me Juliet.
Oh,
yeah. Interesting.
I see what you did there. Okey-doke.
So I made a mint julep.
Okay.
All right. Except I don't really like mint juleps.
You're crazy.
Love
a julep.
I know.
I love them.
Honestly, I don't super love old fashioned. And a mint julep is basically an old fashioned. Except that you add, it's similar, right? Because it's sugar and
sugar
mint
and whiskey. Yeah.
And bourbon.
Yeah.
I mean, all the thing that you're missing is bitters. So it's not. Anyway.
That's not an old fashioned, but anyway.
Thank you, Emily.
Pretty darn close. The only thing you're missing is bitters. Anyway, I don't super love like that. And so I usually want a little bit of like acidity, and I decided to add some champagne to it or something sparkling. And actually, instead of champagne, I decided to use a sparkling rosé because a rosé by any other name is as Romeo says to Juliet.
Yes.
Or Juliet says to Romeo. Oh my gosh. I don't remember. But that's a line from the actual
It's been a long time since any of us have been in high school and studied this play.
It really has. And actually today, like studying the lyrics, I was having fun going back and actually reading like mm-hmm. Shakespearean just to like pull out some things. I really wanted to add in some like, it's a summer's air night, right? We've got summery, but this is not summer right now. And so I wanted to add, I literally used mint for my garden, believe it or not. It's like still growing out there. So there is some of that, but I really wanted strawberries. This is a terrible time to buy strawberries. Everybody buys strawberries around Valentine's Day and they just suck. Like they suck. But dried strawberries actually have a lot of flavor and are really delicious. So that's what I crushed up and used on the as a rimmer, and I put some crushed up in the bottom with the mint. So it just has a
little... You love a rim on your glass, Rachel.
I really do. I love the texture.
He loves a good rim job.
Okay, I wasn't going to bring it there, Emily.
Sorry.
That's why Emily's here, all right? Just keeping it spicy.
You have explicit rating.
We do.
Yes.
We don't. Children do not be listening.
Fucking A, we do.
So here we go. Marry me, Juliet.
And cherry me, Juliet. And Emily, do you have a creative name for yours?
The margarita.
The Tammy margarita.
we'll come up with one as we go through the lyrics.
Sorry, I didn't know because I've never listened to your show that I should have a name. If I would have known, you didn't put it in the list.
It's fine.
You wouldn't have read it anyway.
You didn't even read the list.
I glazed.
We got our swigs. Have we collectively cheersed yet?
Not officially. Clink, clink.
Clink.
Clink, clink. Cheers. Cheers, sisters.
Cheers. Cheers to that. My sibs. And
all
so.
Right, Rachel, lead us into it.
Emily, what you don't know because you didn't read the itinerary that I presented to you so carefully. We like to begin our conversation talking about, we have three different layers to our conversation. The first one is the spirit of the cocktail, because in every cocktail you begin with your spirit. So we'd just like to say, like, what is the spirit? What is the like general idea of what this song is about? The next category we talk about is the musical mixology of it all. So how do they shake up the music, what kind of music is used to layer in the different like mixes of the song? What kind of musical notes are you hearing? And then finally, we get into the Taylor Twist of it all. How does Taylor twist her words, which is the lyrics of the song, what they mean, where we can pull from it. So that's how we break down our song. And we'll probably put you on the spot quite a lot. So I really hope that you did your research. And being our guest, are you able to kind of give us an idea of what do you think the spirit is of Love Story? What's this song about?
Okay, so the obvious is like, okay, somebody wants to be with somebody and their parents disapprove. And I've dated a lot of people that mom and dad did not approve of. So I was like trying to get into that. Mm-hmm. Like one in particular who I'm not going to name names. I know you guys could probably think of one. Maybe you couldn't, but later we can talk about it.
Because this guy may be listening to our podcast.
100% not. Mom and dad despise him. I don't think really, but they did. But, you know, like the end is happy. So somehow things come around where she convinces her dad or he convinces her dad that he's actually a good guy, you know, which is different than the real Romeo and Juliet story.
Right.
I don't know. I think the spirit, and maybe it's just my current view on Taylor and like Travis Kelce. I love them. Like she just wanted like a happy love story despite maybe negativity that is potentially out there.
Yeah. I think that's really well said. And it kind of like hints at a little bit of thoughts that I'm having as we go into the song. I mean, it's pretty obvious that this is about Romeo. It's like a takeoff of Romeo and Juliet, right? And a quote that Taylor has been known, or she's, it's been known that she's mentioned that at some point there was a guy that she was sort of dating. Her parents didn't really like him and didn't think it was a good idea. She went to her room, shut the door, and she wrote this song. And it's like her way of, I mean, it's just an example of how she used to process her feelings and how she used to understand that, like, there is, like, just this idea of romance, and that everybody as teenagers might have, and that she was able to kind of write it by using metaphors of another story that, interestingly enough, really ends pretty depressing. And what's fun, I think, is when she did the song in 1989 tour, she like introduced it a lot, and she was like, so there are these like two people that fell in love in like 3 days, and then they both died. So I decided to write a song about it and make it have a happy ending. And so, I mean, I think it's kind of fun how she was able to take that, but also think there's some actually really interesting critical ways of understanding why she did that I think that will be fun to get into. What are your thoughts, Sam?
I think that Taylor Swift has always just been like a helpless, or sorry, that's not the word, hopeless romantic, mm-hmm. to the point where she takes the most classic love story of all time and wants to apply it to her own story.
Mm.
And so this song, being one of her most famous songs of all time, it's just so classic that she just takes this remarkable love story, cuts off the tragedy, and puts a happy ending to it, to the point where, like, how could you hate this song? And I just want to say, before I even like really became a Swiftie, of course I knew this song. I never liked this song. And I
Sam. I did not like it. I was like, this is the cheesiest song ever.
Exactly, for those reasons too. Yeah. And so it's really fun that, Emily, that you chose this song, because it allows me and Rachel to like actually give a critical opinion to this song. Not that there's like really critical opinions I'm going to give, but it just allows me to realize that I have changed so much from the time that I actually have like paid attention to Taylor Swift to the time that she was just in the background. And this song was just always just kind of a background song for me. And there's not too much like thorough depth to the song as we break down the lyrics. Maybe you guys have different opinions about that.
Oh, I might have some things going on.
I mean, well, this is fun because I didn't research why she wrote it or what it was about, and I'm just like listening to you guys. I was immediately, as you were talking, applying it to like how I view Taylor currently and like why I think I love her so much right now. I love the current Taylor. I don't really know the past Taylor, but I love watching her at Travis's games, Trav's games, and like how she's like, you know, excited and like cheering for him and like dancing. I think you're right, Sam. She's a hopeless romantic. Yes. And I really love seeing her. She just seems so happy all the time. And it's maybe fake. I don't know. I often wonder, because how can you be this intense and successful and on top of your game and also be a normal emotional person? Those two things in my mind are, whenever you look at successful people, there's usually like a dark side, which is maybe why she writes these darker songs.
Oh yeah,
she definitely does just have a really good therapist, and she's actually truly happy. I don't know.
So if you listen to our episode, which was like from 2 weeks ago, we talk about how she does have therapy, but her therapy is actually us, the listeners. Like, we're her therapist, because she like spills her heart and soul out into these songs. Love Story isn't exactly an example of that, but the older she gets, she like really lets loose in these songs, to the point where we feel like we're her therapist and we should actually be charging her a bill for this. So it's interesting that you bring that up.
All right.
Okay.
That's the spirit.
Woo!
Woo!
That's the spirit. Okay. See, Emily, this is why it takes us 2 hours to to break down an episode. Okay, so we've got part one done. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to move into the musical mixology. So what are you guys' thoughts on the sounds of the song? Are there any, like, specific reasons why certain instruments were used, or keys, or tempos? I mean, I've got thoughts. I'm happy.
Yeah, I always rely on you for this, Sam. You're always better at this than I am.
So here's what I wrote for the musical mixology. I wrote banjo, but make it rock. Little did I know that you were Romeo, you would throw it. Obviously, the first thing you hear when you play the song is the banjo guitar, like, leading us into it. But the whole, so, like, it's one of classic Taylor's, like, you know, debut album and Fearless album and a little bit of Speak Now album, like the country version of her really comes through with that banjo. But what I like that the song does is it becomes a rock song halfway through. And I think it really, like, kind of kicks in during the chorus when, like, all the guitars come in and all the drums come in. And it's impossible to be bored when you listen to this song.
I will never not think about the Eras Tour performance when I hear this song, because I immediately see the band walking in together behind Taylor or with Taylor, in that, like, along with the beat of the banjo, and it's kind of this slow march. And what I think about is one of those, like, Shakespearean dances, like old Victorian, whatever we call it, romantic era dances, where they're just, like, dancing together. And I just like that. I just like the, like you said, there's just this, like, walking in, the slow entrance, which is kind of the way that I think about Romeo and Juliet meeting, and that, like, slow, and then it really just explodes, and then they die. Except they don't in this song.
They don't in this song. But, you know, that brings me to the point where she does the key change song.
There's an intentional key change, little nugget that happens at the bridge when the song shifts.
And that's, like, I think one of the most iconic parts of this song is that key change when she sings. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring and said, we don't get that a lot in all of her songs. And I think that's the whole point, is, like, she's changing the whole story at this point.
Yes.
We're following Romeo and Juliet. Right. She is Juliet. She's portraying her Romeo. And the key change represents the change of the story that she's, like, driving the narrative towards.
It's crucial. So. Right, Emily? You agree. It's crucial.
Right, Emily?
Yeah. I mean, this is so funny because I'm having imposter syndrome because I did not dive this deep into this song. My feeling from the music is just that, like, how could you ever be in a bad mood listening to this song? Like, the
intro, honestly,
is just like,
yes.
You know, so that's my take. That's all I have. I'm not.
Okay. Let me affirm you. One of the things I wrote down was, this is a very great song to dance around your room with a hairbrush. Like that's fair. Fair critique of the song. I do. Yes, I'm with you.
Something I wouldn't know.
Sam does not need a hairbrush.
With a razor, Sam.
With a razor. It's just, yes, it is a song that you're cheering and jumping for love in the end of it. Like, you just cannot help it. Love story. That's a great transition into what, like, why are we cheering and jumping for love, Rachel? What are the lyrics that make us want to cheer for love? I'm just going to read kind of, like, the first bits, and then we can jump in about our thoughts. Sound good?
Sounds great.
We were both young when I first saw you. I close my eyes and the flashback starts. I'm standing there on a balcony in summer air. See the lights, see the bar party, the ball gowns, see you make your way through the crowd and say, hello. Little did I know. I'm going to leave it at that.
I have thoughts.
Give me your thoughts.
I have thoughts.
Emily, I want to know your thoughts.
Well, so I read the lyrics. So I listened to the song, right, all week. And, like, it, I feel like it's different. And you guys are probably like, duh. Listening to the song than actually reading mm-hmm. the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
It was a different feeling.
I feel that way all and the time.
And what was fun about reading that first section was I, like, totally – it, like, took me back to being younger and being at, like, a college party or a college bar. Mm. Where I was single like all through college, and it was always like, ooh, is this the night that I'm going to meet my future husband? You know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I got that vibe from that beginning part where she's just like trying to fall in love in that night, you know, or not knowing where that night's going to lead her. And she sees the first cute boy. And so that's the one for the evening.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally know that feeling. And I actually think that that's pretty accurate to Romeo and Juliet, the story. Well, she just like, this is what she does, is she lays out, like, you're able to do that. We've talked about this all the time. You're able to go back to your college, like even if it's very different from what she described it, because she wasn't even in college. But because she was so specific about a balcony, summer air, lights, party, ball gowns, you walking towards me, a crowd. Like, those are all really specific details. You now can, like, you can see that, and then you transport yourself to another similar situation. And that's, like, the beauty of how she kind of sets us into a scene and allows us to feel that. Let's move on.
Emily, do you want to read this next part?
Oh, yeah, I think you should.
What do I do?
Read to the chorus. Just read the words as if you're telling us a story.
That you were Romeo and you were throwing pebbles. And my daddy said, stay away from Juliet. And I was crying on the staircase, begging you, please don't go. And I said,
Rachel, why are you laughing?
It's just funny. I felt like I was reading to my children a bedtime story.
I was thinking that too.
Because that's the only out loud reading that I do.
And my daddy said.
And the bulldozer said goodnight.
All right. Critique. I hate it when Taylor says daddy. It just disgusts me.
Oh, my God. This is not the first time she says daddy. We have talked about this word daddy.
Wait, do your kids call Mike daddy?
Yeah, but I hope they don't when they're 19.
That's the thing. Is like Taylor, when Taylor sings about daddy, she's like a fully grown adult, and she's still singing the term daddy, and it just like gives us weird vibes.
You know, I think she's like, screw you, people that don't like daddy, because of like that.
Here's the problem. If she was like, and daddy was like, you're a powerful woman, do what you want, then maybe I wouldn't hate it as much. But it's always prefacing. It was like, daddy got a gun or whatever. What was it?
It's about, well, I think Taylor like clearly has this like relationship with her father in a sense that she really reveres her father, and she uses her father's word as gospel in a sense. I think that's like that comes through. And I mean, there's a deeper dive that we could make with Taylor Swift in the term daddy, but that's
and, like, the
general
country
concept.
Music world. Yeah, right.
She definitely has a close relationship with her father, and she uses that in this song to represent the fact that she wants this guy, but her father does not approve of it. Right? Which is the classic Romeo and Juliet story.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
And she could have just said, my father said stay away from Juliet, but no. She chose to say my daddy.
That's the thing. She's still in Nashville, and so she still kind of uses those words.
I feel like the way – because I agree. Daddy is like kind of like pukey. But the way she sings it, it's not. She's just good.
If she said my daddy said, then it would be totally different.
I don't know. Yes, totally different.
I think she says it much more obnoxiously in Picture to Burn.
Is yeah, we've discussed that song. My daddy's gonna show you
how sorry you be. I also don't like it when people are like, stay away from my daughter. Like, that just like kind of grosses me out.
If I had a daughter, I would love it.
Oh, no. No, she could take care of herself. Okay. But this is, I mean, this is just so great. Like, I mean, that's why Romeo and Juliet is such a perfect play to read to a bunch of teenagers, because they get that. They get that, like, parents are holding me back and they don't get me. Mm-hmm. And I'm crying and I'm like, please don't go to this guy. Like, it's just so relatable. She gets it. She gets what her fans want. She gets what she wants.
Let's talk about this chorus here. Romeo, take me somewhere we can be alone. I'll be waiting. All there's left to do is rum. You'll be the prince and I'll be the princess. It's a love story, baby, just say yes. That's where we get the title track. I mean, it's an iconic chorus. It's an iconic song. It's one of our most famous songs of all time. But I don't need to say anything more than that.
The only thing I wanted to say was that this line, just say yes. In Shakespeare, in Romeo and Juliet, Juliet says to Romeo, in that iconic scene where he like comes to the balcony or like whatever, Juliet says, dost thou love me? I know thou wilt say aye, meaning yes. And later on, she says, but don't say it with begging or something like that, because then I won't believe you. And that's why it's interesting to me, if I like think about that, like she's saying here, just say yes. Don't say yes, please, I want you, I'm begging you, I want this. She's saying like it's a love story, baby, just say yes. And, like, let's move on.
Are you suggesting that she understood Romeo and Juliet to that depth? Like maybe she had mom as her English teacher and, like, really understood it?
Yes, I really am. This girl is amazing. And the ways that she has studied literature and how she uses it and quotes it and flips it. And she understands language, like, more than anybody I know. And it's her favorite thing to do.
It really is.
Is to like take a line that we might know somewhere else and flip it and make it new again. And that's like,
and what's so fascinating is like she'll say that, and then like five albums down the road, she will then reference what she said five albums ago.
Yes.
And make it make sense. And I don't have an exact example of that, Emily, but I'm telling she does that.
The very next line I do, so we can keep going.
Well, hang on. I got one more thing to say about this.
One more thing about the chorus. Go ahead.
No, about this concept. You understand, like, I'm being, I'm a born-again Swiftie. You're actually observing it. So this,
we're also born-again Swifties, just so you know.
We are.
There's a lot of talented musicians out there, our cousin Fran being one, who is really lyrical, really good at understanding language and history, and very, very smart. I don't think a lot of musicians can be that and be a pop star like Taylor.
Right. Mm. No.
Which is what's interesting.
No. Yes. And an icon and gorgeous and kind.
Well, I think it helps that for someone like Taylor Swift, she started when she was 16 is when her first album came out. So and we break it down, like all of the first album that she put out there, the songs are fun and catchy and good, but lyrically there's no depth to them. And you see the progress, and this is her sophomore album, so she hasn't made too much progress, but there's still a little bit of progress. And with every album that comes out since then, there's just clearly more growth and education and like depth growing from that. And that only comes from somebody like Taylor Swift, who has been in the industry for so long. You don't get that a lot when pop stars, because pop stars are found and discovered with a catchy pop tune, with being like a hot, cute, young thing. But what she did was she started as a singer-songwriter in the country industry, which is not meant to project you and traject you towards pop stardom. And then she became famous from there because people were recognizing that she has like actual songwriting talents. All this to say that she's so different from so many pop stars because she started from an actual point of like writing from depth. Like she wanted to write from depth. And even though she was writing from 16 years old and 18 years old, she wanted to have that depth, but she didn't like know exactly how to create that depth, but she was focusing on that. Am I making any sense? I feel like I'm going on a tangent here.
So,
I'm a little drunk right now.
You probably could have avoided this whole part of the podcast if only I had listened to a previous episode.
I mean, it's true, like literally what we talk about all the time, Emily.
No, you're actually, you're asking perfect questions.
Okay.
And
but what, yes, what's great about you being a guest on this podcast, Emily, is like Rachel and I are so used to like how we feel about Taylor Swift. So I don't always feel the need to like necessarily describe why or how I think she's fantastic because we just get each other. So to have you here is allowing my brain to be like, yes, but here's why. And I think it's really enhancing this experience. Yep. But I do think we should move on.
All right. So I sneak out to the garden to see you. We keep quiet because we're dead if they knew. So close your eyes, escape this town for a little while.
That's my favorite part. It's my favorite the part of this whole song. Is when she sings, oh, oh. Do you know what I'm talking about? Escape this town for a little while. Oh, oh, cause you won't. Yeah, like the way she sings it, it's just like, it moves the song.
It moves the song. Yes, yes. Yes,
like, I don't know how she does it. It's like, oh, oh, oh.
That was really bad. That was about really as bad as it was a couple episodes ago when we were trying to do that, like, ah. That was really bad.
Yeah, it's essentially the same concept.
Okay.
But it's so good. Like, it moves the song forward, and that's when, like, I'm get hooked. It's like, if you're not hooked by now, then you're definitely hooked by now.
Totally. Now, let me keep going, so then we'll get to the chorus and we can stop. Because you were Romeo, I was a scarlet letter. Oh, wait, no, that's the chorus, right?
So no, you're right, keep going.
You're right, because you were a Romeo, I was a scarlet letter, and my daddy said stay away from Juliet, but you were everything to me, I was begging you, please don't go. Okay, that's our verse. Thoughts?
I mean, it's the same, like, structure as the first verse. I think we call it like a pre-chorus even. Like, you know, the first verse was that you were Romeo, you were throwing pebbles, and my daddy said stay away from Juliet. Now we get, because you were Romeo, I was the scarlet letter, and my daddy said stay away from Juliet. So we have the same sentiment.
Okay, but you forgot. Like, but there's things to say about the lines before that.
I just had a thought.
Go ahead.
As I'm reading and listening now, I mean, what's interesting is this whole song is really her. It seems very one-sided. Like, maybe Romeo doesn't love her.
Yes.
And
very interesting.
And
say more.
I think I felt this the whole time, but never actually realized it. And that's why the end is so great. When you think it's going to be sad, and then it isn't. Because you realize he loves her, too.
That's so interesting. Because, Emily, all along, you can see she's saying... she's telling him to say yes, but he doesn't say yes yet.
No.
Which is why when you get to the bridge, she's so devastated and you understand why. Because she keeps saying, she keeps asking him and she keeps asking him. And then, okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll get there. But that's really, really important. What I wanted to say.
Sorry. Just born again, Swifty.
This connection of sneak out to the garden to see you is connected to Cruel Summer. But in Cruel Summer, so in this, she's wanting to sneak out, like Juliet was wanting to go out into the world. So I sneak out to the garden to see you. In Cruel Summer, she's coming into the garden to hide. She's sneaking into the gate, into a place to hide. And that's like, that's where those songs, the two of them kind of come together, whereas she's begging you, please don't, like, he's out there with pebbles, whereas in there she's waiting and she's waiting and waiting at the window and he doesn't come. Okay, that's the comparison. This line, because we're dead if they knew, is kind of ironic because, well, in it also is in Romeo and Juliet because she says, if they do see thee, they will murder thee. That's a line in that, which is ironic as in the end of Romeo and Juliet, they all die. So it's funny that they think that they will be dead if they knew in the end they will be dead. All right.
Death.
So it's really interesting that she says, you were Romeo, I was a scarlet letter, and my daddy said, stay away from Juliet. So it's essentially she's saying, they've already even given me a scarlet letter. Scarlet letter meaning, like, I will bring shame, like, to,
yes,
to the family, right? I mean, in scarlet letter, it means, like, you already did the thing that brought shame. And they're saying, even before that, if you even just look at him, that's bringing shame to us. Like, she's already a scarlet letter. It's like, don't even do that. Don't even.
Well, she used scarlet letter in later in 1989 when she does the song New Romantics, which, Emily, do you know the song New Romantics? I feel like you would love that song.
I think you would love
that song. I do not. I mean, maybe I do, but I don't.
It's like a bonus like song it. Off of the standard 1989 album.
Okay.
She has these like bonus songs, and New Romantics is a fan favorite. And I feel like you would like this one. But she, in that song, she references the scarlet letter concept again.
We show off our different scarlet letters. Trust me, mine is better.
So you were talking, Emily, about how, like, it's so interesting. It seems like he's not responding to her. Like, this is one-sided.
And are we in the bridge?
We get another chorus. We're in the chorus, but the chorus has a second part that we didn't have before. Mm. She sings again.
You're so right.
After she says, it's a love story, baby, just say yes. Again, she's like, Romeo, save me. Because obviously he's not responding. She's like, Romeo, save me. They're trying to tell me how to feel. This love is difficult, but it's real. Don't be afraid. We'll make it out of this mess. It's a love story, baby. Just say yes. So I think, again, that's that desperation you were talking about.
Time out. I always thought that the words were, Romeo, save me. They're trying to tell me how to feel. I thought it was, this love is typical.
Me too. It's
real. You thought that too, okay. Emily?
Same.
See,
I just learned that today because we're breaking down. And so I like looked at the lyrics. It's difficult. I thought it was typical. Which to me made sense. Like, as I was like hearing the song, this love is typical. It was like she wanted it to be non-typical, but it's real. But it's actually difficult, which kind of makes sense too.
So once upon a time, Elliot came up with the word trifficult. Like, if it's difficult and tricky, and he called it trifficult. And so our family says this love is trifficult. And that makes sense. There must be like a T sound that we're all hearing.
We all were hearing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. That's our time. We're getting onto the bridge. I got tired of waiting, wondering if you were ever coming around to get into this bridge. My faith in you was fading when I met you on the outskirts of town. And I said, Romeo, save me. I've been feeling so alone. I keep waiting for you, but you never come. Is this in my head? I don't know what to think. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring? Just like that?
I love the pace of that part. It's so good.
The pace is amazing.
It's so good.
I keep waiting for you, but you never come. Is this in my head? I don't know what to think. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring and said...
You know, I wonder if we're just hearing her diary, and he also has his own diary where she's not responding, you know, because they can't talk because their parents hate each other or hate, you know, we're only hearing her side.
But it's a very classic teenager that just like jumps to conclusions. Like, yes. Oh my God, you weren't there the second you said you were going to be, you must not want me anymore. Like, it must be over. And then you just randomly show up. Okay, here's my critique. I don't like that she immediately moves from, he's not there. I don't know where he is. I don't know. Oh, he knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring. Like, what? Give me a little bit, like, I didn't like that transition.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I love it too. But I love
like,
it.
So she feels like life is over, and then she turns around and he's kneeling.
Yeah.
But she and didn't so she say went, I turned around.
But she did.
That's the whole point of the song, is she feels like she's lost and she's lost it all and he's not there. It's just a classic rom-com. Have you ever watched a rom-com, Rachel and Emily? I don't know if you ever have.
Yes!
But let me tell you what happens is there's always a conflict and they have a big fight. And just in the nick of time, he shows up and is like, actually, I'm here to propose to you. It's the classic move.
It is. But I want her to say is like, I don't know what to think. Then I turned around. He knelt to the ground and pulled out a ring. Like I want.
Yes.
I want. But she doesn't say I turned around. I have to just imagine it in my head. And so I'm doing it. But she doesn't say that. That's my critique. Give me some sort of, like, what did you do to see him all of a sudden show up and kneel to the ground? Like, there's a step missing.
In my head, it's always, they're just sitting there talking. And he gets down on one knee. That's how I visualize it in my head.
Oh.
That's what happened, I think, with Tammy.
Oh, my God. You brought Tammy. So what's Tammy's story?
Well, I think... I'm sorry. I gave this a lot of thought today without laughing. You know, I was deep diving on these lyrics, and she was, like, adamant. This was, like, her love story. And so I think he was like kind of just grungy and her parents didn't like him. And then she turned around and he was kneeling.
It's all in her head. That's what the song is. It's all her perspective. It's her fantasy. The whole point of the song is love story. Taylor is singing about what a love story should be. It's man meets girl, it's forbidden, and it's not going anywhere. But guess what? He turns around and he says, I want you to marry me. And that is her concept of a love story.
Well, I think that you just landed on the point of, I think what she's saying is, it's a story. It's a love story. And she's saying it's not real. Like, this isn't real life. That doesn't mean we can't still hope for it and love it, but it's still a story.
Yeah.
But we get a key change, just like in Betty, which so many people on the internet are thinking that maybe, like, this is James showing up. Emily, I can't wait till you get into the deep dive of August, Betty, and Cardigan. That this is, like, James shows up at the party, and then Betty
and the
is
story
Juliet
changes, and it's a key change
and a key change, and that's when the story changes, like, oh, they're together, isn't that great?
Marry me, Juliet, you never have to be alone. I love you, and that's all I really know. I talk to your dad, go big.
We get a different chorus, and this one's from his perspective, which is kind of fun.
Is it from his perspective?
Yes.
I think
it's what he says. Yeah. He says and said, he turns around and said, marry me, Juliet. You'll never have to be alone. I love you. That's all I really know.
That's all I really know. I love that part.
Talk to your dad. Go pick out a white dress. It's a love story. Baby, just say yes. Okay.
I just want to mention, this is the point of, like, any live performance, like in the Eras tour.
Yes.
When she sings a song.
Yes.
This is when, and Emily, I don't know if you know this.
Oh, this is so funny.
And this is the part, if you're going to propose to somebody, you do it right here. And there are so many instances during the live performance of this song when people kneel to the ground and pull out a ring and say, marry me, so-and-so, you'll never... And there are... Like, it's a tradition that happens. It's like, if you're going to propose to your girlfriend, you do it at the Eras Tour.
At during the Eras Tour during
this
song.
Moment.
I just Googled it.
It's a thing. Mm-hmm.
So, we talked about how, like, this is... Like, there was a key chain. Like, him saying, like, marry me, Juliet, is the change. But actually, I think the change that happens in this story, the change is actually, I talk to your dad. And while it kind of bugs me because he's like taking credit for getting them out of the mess, where she's the like, I don't know if he knows me. And he's like, no, where I took care of him, little lady. That kind of bugs me. But I think the turning point is that he was like, no, let's not just go behind our parents and be all sneaky about this. Like, let's just be mature adults and go say, like, listen, dude, like, I'm actually a cool guy and it's okay and we can move on. Like, that's actually, in the end, a much more mature way of handling it than Romeo and Juliet did. Than, like, let's have this elaborate story where I'm going to pretend that I'm dead and you're going to come find me and blah, 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 because that's so dumb.
Yeah, it's a dumb story.
And it ended up killing me.
Yeah,
yeah. It's dumb. Shakespeare's dumb. But Shakespeare didn't know how to write the story any better because he was also dumb. So Taylor Swift is smarter than William Shakespeare. There we go. Is the point of this whole story. Okay, so then we get a classic Taylor move, which kind of at this point, this has happened a lot. I kind of wish she would like do something different, which is to say the first line as her last line.
Oh, yeah.
She says, because we were both young when I first saw you. Because we were both young when I first saw you. I mean, she does it a lot. And I think, again, in this point, I think of this. You know what I'm thinking of is Death by a Thousand Cuts. If the story is over, then why am I still writing pages?
Oh.
Because the love story is over, but we know it's not actually over. Like, all we know is that he proposed. We don't actually know, and neither does Taylor. And I think she's saying, no, of course, I didn't write. And then they ended up happily ever after. Like, that's Mary's song, okay? But this song is Romeo and Juliet, and she's just saying, like, okay, I changed the story, but then there's more. There's more, and you're going to have to listen to 8 more albums to show how that love story plays out.
And guess what?
So stick around.
We do.
We do.
We listen to all of them. And guess what? We critique them all. But you know what? We did a pretty good job of, I think, I don't even know what we talked about. I'm like 5 cocktails deep at this point. So who even knows? But
well,
I think it's been fun.
I think we did well. Yeah.
I think we did well. And I'm so glad we did this song.
All right, Sam and Emily, I know our Swiggies are begging us, please don't go. But alas, our podcast has 2 hours in, come to a close. But don't be afraid, Swiggies. We'll get you out of this mess and record another episode for next week. And that means, Sam, I'm wondering if you have ever come around to deciding what song we are doing.
Is this my moment?
That was a deep pause.
Okay. I have thought long and hard about what song we do next, Rachel, because, like, I love how we're in our Fearless era right now. I like this vibe that we're currently in. We're like an early Taylor. And so I feel like we, like, should kind of stay within, like, that, right? So.
Okay. I love it.
But specifically because our sister Emily is on this podcast right now, I have chosen
The
one song that I mentioned earlier in the episode.
Easter egg.
Emily brought up this song to me in 2013. And it was the first time I ever heard Emily ever say anything about Taylor Swift. I didn't even like Taylor Swift. But Emily, you said something to me. And I think I've talked about this in previous episodes. And Emily, you were like, I really like that one song that's on the radio right now by Taylor Swift. And that's the song I'm choosing for next week. And the song is, Emily, do you even know what it is?
I don't.
The song is, I Knew You Were Trouble.
I Knew You Were Trouble.
And Emily, you said, I really like that song. You knew it when it was in 2013.
I knew you were trouble when you walked in.
Yeah, it's catchy.
You told me. You're like, I really like that one song. And I was like, huh. I guess I don't even know that song. And then I heard that song and I thought, wow, Emily really likes that song.
Trouble.
And so it is a fun song.
It's a great choice,
and that's
Sam.
What we're going to do next week, Rachel.
Yep.
And I just wanted to say that.
I do love that song.
I know you do.
She does. See, we knew it. We knew you were a Swiggy. We knew it. Or at least a Swiftie. All right, Sam, I'm excited about that. And, you know, because Emily's here and we like to haze her, we're going to make you, Emily, read the script that I always make.
Oh, yes. Finally, I don't have to do
it. Take
it
away, Em.
Swiggies, I know we say this every week, but we mean it when we say we love... Wait, hang on.
You're doing this so great.
Oh, this is about as good as Sam does.
I also love it when you just... Hang on, this is hard. I feel like it's supposed to be a love story.
Yes.
It is. Yeah. I always use lyrics from the song we just did.
We also love it when
that's why it never really makes sense. Keep going. Swiggies, just read it verbatim.
Say this every week, but we mean it when we say we love... That's all we need to know.
You don't have to sing it.
Singing it like love story.
No, I'm going to need you to sing it.
We also love it when you just say yes to a follow or a share or better, still a review of our podcast, Daddy.
That's where I come in.
That was excellent.
Okay, so Swiggies, if you're not already following us, you got to be sure to follow us at Swift and Swigs Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. We just learned that TikTok is pulling all of Taylor Swift's music from the platform. So, excuse me, I just burped.
What?
But we will be navigating that landscape. However, whatever. Follow us. We're still going to post our cocktail content. You can send us an email at switchandswigspodcast@gmail.com letting us know what songs you want us to cover and what you think of every single episode. You can follow our show notes at switchandswigspod.substack.com. What else am I forgetting, Rachel? Oh, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us on Spotify. Yes, and if you don't already follow Widowitz Dental on Instagram, this is
throw that into the mix.
That is where you really need to be paying attention, because she will transform your smile and she will fix your cavities in a way that you could never imagine. It's like a Romeo and Juliet type story.
Mostly, so. I just like pulling teeth. I'm impressed. I have to pee so bad. Like, I'm impressed.
Yeah,
it was fun. I loved it. I might listen. I might listen to an episode.
I think you should.
Okay. Good night.
All right.